The birds that we see here come from far south, and they come to Ketchinet Bay and spend time here because it's a prime stopover, because they can get so much to eat on the shoreline here before they head on to the Arctic. So that's like, we like Homer because we can eat there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So we have pretty much most species come through here that migrate to the Arctic.
Welcome to the Discovering the Last Frontier podcast. I'm your host, Lucas. I'm really excited for this week's guest. If you're into birding, this guest will be speaking your language. But before we jump into this week's episode, I just want to thank the Chamber of Commerce. Mina and Silas did an excellent job last week giving us an overview of everything the Chamber can do to help visitors plan for their trip, and also just give you an idea of all of the things that Homer and the surrounding area have to offer. So thanks again, Mina and Silas. So joining me today, coordinator of the Shorebird Festival, and then the program manager at the Alaskan Wildlife Refuge. So please welcome Melanie DeFour. So welcome. So first of all, can you give our listeners some idea of where your passion for wildlife started?
You look outside in Alaska. I came to Alaska during high school for a month with the National Outdoor Leadership School on kayak for a month. And went back to Colorado, which is where I grew up. And there's amazing nature there, mountains, but no ocean. So when I saw a place with mountains and ocean, I had to come back to Alaska and did so after college. And just, I mean, I love the nature that's around us and how much it gives to us without even asking. And so when we ask questions and learn more, it gives us more.
Oh, wow, that's great. So you grew up in Colorado,
yeah.
Spent some time here, and it just drew you in.
Yes.
Exactly. Everything that it has to offer. Yes. Oh, very cool. So the first I heard about the Shorebird Festival was actually from an acquaintance of mine in Minnesota named Chris. And I was telling him about, you know, our project up here in Homer, and we had purchased land and we're building. And he's like, oh, they got the greatest Shorebird Festival.
He was right.
Yeah. He said for any avid birder, he was like, it's a must. You have to do it. So is it fair to say that your reach is global for this festival?
Exactly.
Okay. And how many folks do you get each year? And like, how far afield do they come from to attend your festival?
They come, like you said, from all over the world. Last year, we had over 2,500 people attend and take part. And I would say a third were not from Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah. And may not have been from America. I could pull up exact numbers, but I'd take pulling them up.
But you get folks from the lower 48. You get folks from Europe.
Yes. And our speakers come from all over the world. Last year, our keynote speaker was Diego Calderon from Medellin, Colombia. So,
oh, wow.
And birding connects the world. So,
yeah.
Things that that's really true. And you've seen.
Yeah, because we all have that in common, right? Mm-hmm. They're among us, right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so
exactly.
You spoke to last year's keynote speaker, and I know you have a festival coming up. Mm-hmm. So when is your upcoming festival? Who's the keynote
speaker? It's May 8th through 12th.
Okay.
And our keynote this year is Ted Floyd, who some birders would be familiar with. He's the editor of the American Birding magazine and has written many books. He will have some of his books at our, he's going to be doing this presentation Saturday night, May 11th.
Yeah,
we'll have some books available there for people to purchase and grab them for an autograph. He's from Colorado, and he seems really, he's excited to come.
Is it his first time coming to the festival?
It's his first time coming as a keynote, and I think it might be his first time coming to the festival.
Okay.
Good question. I'll have to
ask. You'll have to ask. So in addition to your keynote speaker, what are some of the other events, if I was planning on coming to the festival, that I would partake in?
We have something for everybody. One thing that is true, that birding is for everybody and for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be able to. We have a bird ability tour that is for people that are not mobile on their feet. We have at the visitor center, we have wheelchairs that can be borrowed. We have a wheelchair accessible trail here. The Independent Living Center in Homer has beach wheelchairs that people can borrow, which is amazing. One thing that COVID kind of did to many people, it really broaden the demographics of burgers, because even so, you couldn't go to the store, you couldn't buy this, but you couldn't go outside. And I hear this, and what is that? I want to know what that is.
Yeah.
And more people became burgers during that time. So even middle school boys, like, dude, look what I saw. And we have a teen burger program along with our junior burger program, and they get to do events specific to them.
Oh, wow. So have you seen that? You think at Homer throughout the year, do you think there's more folks coming to Homer just out for the sake of birding and making a destination?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a result?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
So the popularity is really cool. Yeah. So if I was coming to the festival and I was going to partake in it, what sort of tours are available and what should I expect to see or experience on this? Today's sponsor, Bear Cove Retreat. Let Bear Cove Retreat be your guide as you embark upon your dream Alaskan coastal adventure. Their off-the-grid, all-inclusive retreat is the perfect option for folks seeking a journey with unique experiences in a serene setting. Visit www.bearcoveretreat.com for more details. So if I was coming to the festival and I was going to partake in it, what sort of tours are available and what should I expect to see or experience on this tour?
There's tours from 1 hour to overnight.
Okay.
We had an overnight tour this year that is amazing. Go out on the bay and boat, eat on the boat, sleep on the boat, get to just be out there in nature for the whole night. We have tours that go all the way to Saldovia and the Gland on Sea time there. Because it's part of Catchment Bay. On Catchment Bay,
yep.
We have from 1 hour to overnight for experienced birders to beginning bird walks. So because we all are beginners, I'm still learning a lot. For people of all abilities and all birding knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what sort of species will be around during the festival that people typically want us in
camp? Our featured bird this year is redneck fowl rope, and those should be spotted. Tons of gulls, rock sandpipers. They turn here all winter long. We get to see them. Cormorants, pretty much any shore bird.
Okay.
Migratory bird. The birds that we see here come from far south, and they come to Kachemak Bay and spend time here because it's a prime stopover, because they can get so much to eat on the shoreline here before they head on to the Arctic. So that's like, we like Homer because we can eat there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So we have pretty much most species come through here that migrate to the Arctic.
Okay. Okay. No, that's interesting. So do you think the extreme tides is part of that? You know, what it exposes and the opportunity?
Yeah. Look, they come, you will spot them most at high tide because they're closer to the shore,
mm-hmm.
closer to where we walk. But yes, that's why we want to keep our bay clean, and the conservation of Kachemak Bay is important for them and for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if I was considering making the trip, how about accommodations? Are there typically...
Look up now.
Okay, so it's tough, right?
It can get that way, yeah. We have some awesome hotels here and the B&Bs, but they get full.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate. And transportation as well. There are buses in Homer. There's not Uber or Lyft. We have some cabs that are awesome and trustworthy. But both accommodations and transportation are important to book ahead of time.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So for this year, there still might be opportunities, but certainly if you're looking for next year, you want to plan ahead.
Keep it as well. Yeah, there's offer to, and registration for the festival doesn't open until March 22nd.
Okay.
So, and if you go on our website, you can see last year's program at this point. We just finished last week editing this year's program gathering, and it's 28 pages long.
Oh, wow.
And with tiny little
letters. Yeah.
So it'll have all of this year's events and registration, and it will be online before long. Right now on our website, you can see last year's program. And many of the activities and tours happen every single year. So you can kind of get an idea of what's happening.
Okay.
And think ahead that way. The program will be online soon, probably next week, we're hoping. And then you can look at that, write up what you want on the 22nd of March. Get ready to register because we opened last year at 11 a.m. and 11:20 a.m. some events were full.
Really? So what events are people, you know, just kind of waiting to book? Like, what are the real, like, showcases?
Get out on the water. There's one that goes out to Lake Clark that people love because it's a fair, it's a fairly long boat ride. I think that the overnight ones will be, and there's a shorebird cruise, they're calling it, a dinner on board boat. Aaron Lang is one of our committee members, and he's an amazing birder. If you're a birder, you probably have heard his name. He goes out on one with Coldwater Taxi. There, I don't think there's one that you could see nobody wants to do. The birds are there for everybody, so you're not just, and then we have a lot of land things. If you're not good on a boat, we have hikes on land and walks on land to step up on the trail at the Pratt Museum, around this building, down to the bay, and down to the slough. There's, we see birds right outside the door here.
Yeah, right. So the ones getting out on the water because there's limited space is probably, you know, if you really want to do that and are passionate about that, those are nice to look through. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So just speaking about birding in general, when you look at the fall kind of peak season around Homer from May to September, what would you say are the probably the more popular birds that folks are coming here to see? Are there unique species?
Puffins are the ones that people definitely want to see, and we do have the puffins in Kachemak Bay. Gull Island is a place that you can see a lot of birds, and one cool thing about that, at the Pratt Museum, they have a bird cam on Gull Island, so you can actually move it around, go in there and see the birds that are on that island up close to that camera. The shorebirds are here during this, primarily here during early May, and then they migrate on, but we see all kinds of birds, gulls, eagles. I mean, somebody told me once that 99% of the eagle pictures you see anywhere in the world have been taken in Homer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lots of eagles. An eagle. It's like, another eagle. You see them all the time. So, but it's exciting to see them just right by you.
Yeah, I live back in Bear Cove most of the year, and so for me, it's really cool because they literally will fly in front of the windows as they're just gliding by, they'll look.
They're so curious.
Like, what's going on in there? They'll just kind of keep going, but curious birds, like, you never really viewed them that way, but they're always watching us.
They are watching us, yes, exactly.
So if folks come to town for the bird festival, are there other things that you think you would recommend? Like, hey, if you're here, you should really consider taking in this.
Yes, we have so many great great hikes and walks on both sides of the bay. We have lots of trails. There's a trail map that you can pick up with the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies that also does environmental education. And hit one of those trails. They range, most of, I don't think any of them would be categorized as hard. The ones on the side of the bay are moderate at the most, but they're fun, and you can walk down to the beach, you can walk up towards the mountains, you can there's great hiking and great music here and art. There's amazing artists in Homer, so take some time to walk down the Pioneer Avenue galleries, check them all out, and and good food. There's good food everywhere. The bar is pretty high for stuff in Homer.
The food's
good. The art's good. The music's good.
I spoke with the chamber, and they spoke about it, right? And I can understand why they would say it. But I've also interviewed many other folks, and everyone kind of says the same thing, right? Yeah. There's common themes that run through every one of the interviews I do.
We're good. We have good stuff here.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. So I'm on the fence, right? I'm like, I like birding. Sounds interesting. Like, what is your pitch? Like, what would you do to just try to, put someone in a position where you say, yes, I'm going to do this? How would you sell it?
Instead of seeing, looking up, what is that in the sky? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? What's it? That little thing. To know that bird, to learn about that bird and know how far it came from. Some come from Australia, New Zealand, all the way up here, and on their way to the Arctic, and to know, oh my gosh, look what that little thing did, to learn that when you look up at the sky, the next time you're going to be like, I want to see who that is. I want to learn more about them to get, I mean, they're wonders that we have access to. So I would encourage everybody to take the opportunity to learn about them. And then you can tell other people. You can be the bird nerd and say, what would I see?
The bird nerd, is that like an official birding community?
I can't say that.
Okay.
Official, but
okay. Oh.
I hear the word.
Okay. You know, I've read online too that within Keswick Bay waterfall, there's a lot of different sea ducks around.
Oh yeah.
What sea ducks do you see on a routine basis? What can folks kind of expect?
Well, we see eiders, and yeah. we see swans are starting to come back, widgeons, mallards, scalps, a couple of different kinds of harlequin ducks, surf scoters, white wing scoters, black scoters, long tailed ducks, buffalo heads.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of harlequin and buffalo head.
Mm-hmm.
Even this side of the year.
Yeah.
Back here.
Yeah,
yeah. See them. And scalps, did you see?
Scalps. S-C-A-U-P, scalp.
A scalp. Okay. I was on the boat with a couple of friends near our halibut coals the other day. We actually ran into a few of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Thankfully, the other person knew enough to say that's what those are.
Definitely, once you learn a little, once you can identify, it's hard. I can't identify every bird, but there's people in Homer that can't. The Cape Bay Birders is a group that teaches, and they will participate in they. There's eBird for Homer. If you are a birder at all, or if you're not, just go on to eBird and you can find the area. It'll tell you what was spotted today and what was spotted this morning. And there's some of the people in that group are amazing photographers. And yeah, so you should learn a lot.
Okay, eBird.
eBird, it's an app.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, an app. Okay. I use the Autobot app probably more than anything.
Yeah. And iBot Alaska is supporting us and bragging about us. They're a sponsor of the festival. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll also check that out. I'm probably on there once a week because I'm somewhere and I'm like, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah. I suppose there's a lot to learn around here.
There is. And I went to a class actually just the other night and it was like, their tail is relentless. And what did he call it? Jibs. Get your gist on the birds, the general identification of species and subject.
Okay.
Called it. And as how long is this beak? How long is this tail? Are they floating up in the water or are they down in the water? Those are all things. How round is it? You know, those are all things that you can use then if you don't have a tool to identify with them when you get back home, take those notes. His eye was yellow, his eye was black. I saw a white stripe on its neck.
Okay.
Those are things that when you get back home, you can look them up in a book.
Oh, okay. Well, those are good pointers. In terms of your festival, if I wanted to go online and learn more about it, where should I go? Where can I find
it? KatMacShoreBird.org.
KatMacShoreBird.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll have the whole festival.
It'll be right there. The registration link will be there. Yeah.
Okay. And as you said before, you can see past years to get an idea of what will be available.
Yeah.
And the date again, where I need to be on your site at 11 a.m.
March 22nd.
March 22nd. Okay. And that is 11 a.m.
Alaska
time. Okay. Yes. I remember that. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you thought I'd really like to mention?
Well, just speaking that the Friends of Alaska National Wildlife Refuges, who support all 16 wildlife refuges in Alaska, is the co-sponsor of the festival. We're a nonprofit organization. And we're co-sponsors with the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge Visitor Center staff. And so we're both, you know, working hard. We're all working really hard to make it happen and are glad that we can do that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've heard a lot of good feedback on how well organized it is, how many people really come to enjoy it. I've run into people now that I'm aware of it, even the last 5 years, you know, I've run into more and more people that have come to town and taken it in, and not only here, but other places, like when I'm back in the lower 48, I've talked to a handful.
That's good to hear, because it's worked for sure, getting it all ready. The one thing that we didn't mention yet, along with Tori Ryan's original art that is beautiful. The community provides, we put out a call to community artists that they do 6x6. Can we give them a canvas? You can see some over there, but
Oh,
they
yeah.
paint canvases. And we have about 30 this year, I think. Those, along with Tori's art, and then the other donated items we include in the art and pet adventure auction that we have, which will be displayed this year at Lands' End Resort in their hallways. So you can stop in there any time of day and take a look, and then bid on and bring home a really cool piece of art or go somewhere on an adventure. And all of that supports the nonprofit.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so we can continue to do education.
Very good point, Melanie. I really appreciate you joining the podcast today. I wish you and the rest of the team a lot of success this year during the Shorebird Festival. It will run between May 8th and May 12th, 2024. And thank you for joining me for another episode of Discovering the Last Frontier. Take care.